If you would, let's read from 2 Samuel chapter 11 as we stand together. We've been doing a series of thoughts from the TV program, the Fixer Upper program, which Chip and Joe Gaines out of Waco, Texas had, not using video clips. I guess if I were really gifted, I'd get Pastor Stephen to do something like that. But you probably have seen the program, and we have talked about what needs to be done in a fixer-up. And today is the conclusion, the renovation. And as we've read this the last four or five times that we've done this series of lessons, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. If you're not where the Lord wants you to be assured trouble will come. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired of the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your hand upon us today. And Lord, may we not judge David and Bathsheba, but Lord, may we look into our own lives. And Lord, if there is something there that shouldn't be, may we be willing to let you remove it. Help us this day to be right with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. If you went by Wiegand's yesterday, you probably would have seen my wife out in the butterfly area. And she works there at Wiegand's, and quite excited as they had their open house yesterday for that. One thing you notice that a butterfly starts and goes through a number of different transitions. Last year, she had some eggs that became caterpillars, I guess, and then went into chrysalises and wintered over at our house. I'm just glad she didn't put them in the bed and make me sleep in the garage. But she put them in the garage, and then this spring, 7 of the 9 came out. And between the 3 couples that were there, she collected over 300 eggs. I do not know where I'm going to live this winter. But when we come to fixing something up, there are different stages. First, there is the inspection. It is one thing to know that there is a need of repair. It is quite another to actually do the work. Following the inspection, there is the demolition, the removal. I'll be honest with you. I would like some program that is on HGTV, is that right, HGTV, to come to my house and say, "Can we do some work for you? We'd like to do a TV program." Amen. Wouldn't that be nice? I tell you what, I think that'd be fabulous. But once there is the inspection and the demolition, there must be the renovation. Must be. Now, folks, I have been in homes where 7 years later, they're still saying, "Well, I know we need to do this, and we will get around to it." Now, I'm not asking if you know anybody like that, and I'm certainly not going to ask you if you're the one. But the fact of the matter is there are people that have done the inspection and they've done the demolition, but they've never done the renovation. Let's take a moment and look at the Canal Road project as an example. First, there was an inspection of the roadway, and decisions were made that no longer could it be patched up. It was time for a complete do-over. And right now, they are in the middle of the demolition. You see that they've removed the curbs out there, and they're tearing up ground, and they've removed trees and bushes. And when it's all said and done, they're going to put some nice trees in front of our building, and they're going to put in a new curb and a new entranceway. But right now, they're in the demolition, and anyone can tear anything apart. I'm really good at demolition. Give me a sludgehammer, or give me a hammer, or give me a saw, and I can go to work and I can remove it. But it takes somebody with some ability to redo it. You need to have someone that can come in and do the renovation. And we look forward to the renovation of Canal Road. This past week, they were cutting across Canal Road, and then they filled it in with gravel and whatnot. And as we were coming to church today, there were some pretty good-sized potholes out there that if you weren't careful, you would lose half your car. The inspection has been done out there. They're in the demolition, but you don't want to leave it that way, do you? You want the renovation. Well, how about your spiritual house? Your spiritual house, my spiritual house, have you had an inspection of it lately? Have you asked the Lord, Lord, show me if there needs to be something that needs to be removed? Have you been willing upon seeing that there is something, an attitude, a thought life, a bad habit that needs to be removed? Have you been willing, or do we make excuses? I tell you what, I've heard some of the greatest excuses not to do something that you've ever heard, and you've probably heard similar things. In the story of David and Bathsheba, we find upon inspection that David and Bathsheba were immoral. Now, there are those who want to say, well, Bathsheba was nothing but a pawn, and he was a king, and he called for her and had her come, and she couldn't say no. The fact of the matter is she could have said no. She could have said, this is not going to happen. Your soldier, Uriah, is my husband, and he's at battle, and we aren't going to do this. But she didn't say that. And the two of them were immoral. And she found that she was with child. With child. They came up with a plan. Now, it may have been just David's thought. Maybe Bathsheba was part of it. But they came up with a plan. Bring Uriah back from the battlefield and send him home into the bed with Bathsheba. And let's cover up this act of immorality. But for whatever reason, Uriah didn't play along. He would not go home. He says, why should I go home when my fellow soldiers are out sleeping in tents and they're out there on the battlefield? I can't go home for this luxury. And even when David tried to get him drunk so that he would go home, he wouldn't go home. So they had to do something else. And so David, as you know, and as we've told you, wrote a letter and handed it to Uriah. And he said, give this to your captain. And the letter basically said, put him in the hottest spot of the battle and then fall away from him that he may be slain. And upon inspection, we find that David thought he had gotten away with it. He figured in 9 months when the baby came, people would remember that Uriah had come home and that all would be well. But God sent one of those pesky ministers. And he told David a parable and said, you are the man, you are the one that's guilty. Now, when we are confronted by the fact that we have done something wrong, how often do we try to find a loophole? We try to find some way out of it and say, I didn't know, or I shouldn't be blamed, or everybody's doing it. But David repents. And take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. This great psalm in which David has for us the fact that he knows he is guilty. Psalm 51. And before there can be renovation, there has to be the demolition. There has to be the removal of that which is wrong. Psalm 51, beginning at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He doesn't say blot out Bathsheba's transgressions. He says blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We need to admit that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. And that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He died for our sins. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Either your sins are covered by the death of Jesus Christ, or you will pay for your sins. But there is death because of sins. Notice verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. We need to admit that we are sinners. Notice down in verse 7, it says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all of mine iniquities. Remove them. Remove them. And if we're going to see a better person for the cause of Christ, there must be the inspection. There must be the removal. But then there must be something to replace it. The renovation. Beginning at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Create in me a clean heart. No excuses. If something needs to change, be willing to change. No excuses. Do right. When I have counseled people, and I don't do a whole lot of counseling, but my counseling comes down to those two words. Do right. Husband and wife comes to see me and they want to defend their actions. I don't want to hear what you've done in the past. You know why I don't want to hear what you've done in the past? Because I can't change anything you've done in the past. You agree with that? I can't change anything you've done. But I can help your future. Well, how can you help my future? Do right. You say, well, my husband won't or my wife won't. That doesn't mean you should do wrong. Don't you teach your children that if everybody jumps off the bridge, you don't have to jump off the bridge? Yes? Right. You tell your children, well, just because they did wrong doesn't mean you have to do wrong. Well, why is it we teach our children that, but then we don't follow that same advice? Do right. Don't make excuses. Don't continue to be trying to blame other people. The fact of the matter is, we need to do right. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal. And after the prophets of Baal had tried to call down fire from heaven and they were unable to do so, and the Bible tells us they were cutting themselves and bleeding all over their sacrifice and jumping on it and trying to call upon their God to bring down fire, Elijah then says, "It's my turn, guys." And in verse 30 it says, "And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." He repaired the altar of the Lord. We mentioned earlier about the verse there about Dagon and that false god falling before the Ark of the Covenant. And I said that God's people often are weak. And during Elijah's day, they were weak. They were serving false gods. And they had let the altar of the Lord fall into disrepair. And he repaired the altar of the Lord. And you may remember that he prayed and the fire of God came down and consumed not only the sacrifice, but the rocks and lipped up the water so that all could see that we do serve an awesome God. Amen. Renew a right spirit within me. There must come repentance so that we can have revival. Verse 12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." With renovation, we think of the thoughts of something that is renewed, repaired, remodeled, improved, fixed up, changed, restored, restored. When we restore something, we rebuild it or reclaim it, recover it. There is revived. I was looking at some pictures. Do you like to look at pictures from your youth? Any of you? Not too many of you. And upon looking at the pictures from my youth, my wife said, "You were so slim." Wasn't that nice of her? But the fact of the matter is we all change, don't we? But how about your spiritual life? Are you getting stronger? Is your faith stronger? Or are we drifting from the Lord? Are we where we belong spiritually? I believe we live in a very spiritually dark society. There is so much that is evil that is being portrayed as good. We have TV programs that try to even make bad people look good. The fact of the matter is we need to be delivered from the evilness of this society. Amen. Now you say, "Pastor Paul, does that mean we're all going to meet here on a Sunday night and commit suicide?" Well, no. We have been left here for a purpose. Do you realize that? We're here for a purpose. We're to be lights. We're to show the light of the Lord. So in conclusion of the five-week series that we've been doing, I'd like to think and give you thoughts from the messages sent to the churches of Revelation. To the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2:4, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." If you've come to know the Lord as your Savior, you need to stay close to Him, and you need to love Him, and you need to care for Him. 45 years my wife and I have been together, and I guarantee you she would not allow me to find a girlfriend. And the reason I have never wanted to get a girlfriend is because I wouldn't want Donna to have to go to jail after she killed me. But we need to remain faithful to our Lord and Savior. We find to the church of Smyrna, Revelation 2:10, he says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. There have been hundreds and thousands and maybe even millions of believers that have died as martyrs for the cause of Christ. They have remained faithful no matter what. To the church of Pergamos, Revelation 2:13, it says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. I'm going to tell you, Satan dwells in Sterling Heights, Michigan, and Shelby Township, and Utica, and Rochester, and Rochester Hills, and Troy, and Clinton Township, and over here in Macomb. He dwells here. I tell you what, we live in a sinful society because we have pornography that's running rampant. And it's destroying marriages. And it's destroying the youth of our society. We have drugs that are running rampant. And now we want to legalize marijuana, which means more stop signs will be knocked down. We find that we live in a society where we want to give our money away to gambling places. And immorality is looked on as well. Everybody's doing it. And we live in a sinful society, but that doesn't mean we should do it. Ooh, that was kind of weak. It doesn't mean that we should do it. Just because you can do something doesn't mean we should do something. And God's people need to be different, even if it makes the world uncomfortable. Amen. To the church of Thyatira, he says, but that which thou have already, hold fast till I come. Don't go backwards. Remain strong in the Lord. In Revelation 3:1, to the church at Sardis, that thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. I know that there are churches that have great programs. If you want a church with all kinds of things, well, this isn't your church. Because I would rather be a lifeboat than a carnival ship. The fact of the matter is, our job at the Covenant Baptist Church is to proclaim Christ. To tell people that they are sinners and they're doomed and damned to hell unless they've accepted Christ as their Savior. That is the message of the church. Revelation 3:8, I know thy works, for thou hast a little strength and kept my word and hast not denied my name. That was to the church at Philadelphia. Not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but Philadelphia there in Turkey. I know thy works. There was no, what shall I say, condemnation of that church, but only commendation. They were praised because they had not denied the Lord and they had kept the word of God. But the last church, the church of Laodicea, received nothing good, but only the fact that they had failed miserably. And it said to that church, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. May I say of the United States of America, our spiritual condition is that we are not rich, but we are poor and blind and miserable. Because we have forgotten the Lord, our Savior. Oh, we've got religions. There are hundreds of religions in our world, but religion will not get you into heaven. We only get into heaven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says this to the church of Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I will come in and I will inspect. I will come in and I will show you what needs to be torn down. I will help you with the renovation. I will help you get things right. So I end this series of lessons with a couple of questions. Will you let the divine contractor into your spiritual house? Will you say to the Lord Almighty, Lord, is there changes that need to be made? Will you let him in so he can do an inspection? Will you let him in and demolish whatever needs to be removed from your life? Will you let him renovate your spiritual house? When I turned 60, a number of bad things began to happen to Paul Madonna. You that have been here, you know of them. You know I was working on a light out here on the outside of the building, and the ladder slid down the wall, and I fell 13 feet, and they had to glue my face back together. That was fun. You know that I somehow have ruptured a disc in my back, and for 4 weeks I wasn't even in church. It was amazing. Pastor Stephen did a good job, fine job. Appreciate all that he did. But then they found out I had cancer. Now, when you have cancer, and some of you have had cancer, maybe even have it now, and when you have cancer, you want to have it removed. I didn't tell Donna immediately that I had it. Her own mother was going through difficult times. My mother was difficult times. You know, it's not a good time. Should I have left the cancer? I heard a couple of no's. Nobody said yes. What do you want to do with cancer? I'm cancer-free today. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I'm cancer-free. But cancer is like sin. You got to remove it. How's your attitude today? I'm talking about your spiritual attitude. Are you right with the Lord? How's your thought life? I tell you what, that's my number one area I deal with, is my thought life. It's the thing my wife's had to deal with for 45 years. Pray for my wife. I don't say that as a joke. You need to pray for my wife. We think differently. We won't go down that road because I'll get in trouble. But how's your attitude? How's your thought life? How are your actions? As we think about our spiritual house, where are we? I'm not talking about the size of your spiritual house. I'm talking about how is your spiritual house. When people see your spiritual side, do they see something that honors and glorifies the Lord? Shall we stand together? We sing an invitation song 395. There's a great day coming. To those that know the Lord, there's a great day, but to those that don't know the Lord, there's a sad day coming. We'll give you an opportunity to come and to pray here at the altar. And I know after a sermon like this, someone say, well, I can't go forward. They're going to try to figure out what I've done that's wrong. Well, make them wonder. If you need to come and pray here at the altar, come and pray here at the altar. Take that first step. Today could be a great day in your life. Maybe you need to come and pray for a loved one. Pray for someone that you know that's going through a hard time, that maybe you could be of encouragement to them. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, Lord, we just ask that your will be done. May the Spirit move. If one here that has never known Thee as Savior, may they come even this day and just do a total change of their spiritual house. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.